The Trinity is the central dogma of Christian theology, that the one God exists in three persons and one substance, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is one, yet self-differentiated. The God who is revealed to humanity is one God equally in three distinct modes of existence, yet remains one through all eternity. Got it? That edifying or not so edifying paragraph explains the essence of the church's doctrine of the Trinity, the unexplainable that preachers somehow try to explain, or they take a Sunday off, or they ask the newest member of the staff. But fortunately, there are others who not only explain the Trinity, but they actually understand it. For example, in one second grade Sunday school room, the children were given paper and crayons and simply given some time to draw. And after a few minutes, the teacher starts wandering around and she sees flowers and birds and houses and stick people, families, trees, etc., you know, as they're prone to do. And then she gets a child, and she can't make out what in the world is on the paper. It's full of color, reds, blues, lots of purple, and there are interesting shapes, not many discernible, but there's a star. The page is so full now, but the colors are now on top of one another. What's that you're drawing? I'm drawing God. How can you draw God? Nobody knows what God looks like. They will when I'm done. Out of the mouth of babes, as one would say. Just think about it. Here's a child who has had an experience of God that allows for her to know the all-encompassing wonder of the Trinity. We know as God. In strongly impressive, unusual, but important ways. One who can even express her experience of God for all to see. For she does see God clearly, if you think about it. Knows that God is everywhere. Fills all of space. There's no place God is not. Can take on any and all shapes. Whatever is needed, wherever God is needed, God can be there. Is not bound by rules and regulations of trying to stay within the lines. And represents what we know in our proper way through our liturgical colors. Red, green, purple, blue. Little pink thrown in for Advent wreath. Of course, being proper, we have white for the Trinity. Proper, a little boring. But I'm glad to see that the Altar Guild decided to embellish and use the colors that this child used in the flowers of the day. All of that and more is what we celebrate today. The culmination is the unity and the union of God and the people of God, how God reaches us in so many different and varying ways. It's in how we express and experience the fullness of God's presence in every single aspect of our lives, we pray. The Trinity is not just a theological concept that's out there someplace, too complex for most people to understand. The Trinity is intimately with us all as a fact of our spiritual experience of God. It's the great truth that tells us how we relate to God, how we treat ourselves, how we relate to ourselves, and most importantly, how we relate to one another. For the essence of God is always about relationship. Sure, it's about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but God is creator, redeemer, sustainer, all working together for us and in us. Most of us do have some idea about the relationship of a creator who created the Christ, because we recognize that kind of connection in our human experience. We've all had parents. So that creator-created relationship is not that difficult to comprehend. Although experience tells me it certainly helps if we've had loving, caring parents. Those who've had a less positive environment to grow up in can have a more challenging time grasping God's grace. The Holy Spirit, our sustainer, our comforter, is the revelation of God that we experience intimately and strongly within our souls, within our hearts, within our minds. In Genesis, the wind was with God in the beginning of creation. The wind moved around and swept around. And this describes and introduces the Spirit as joyful, exuberant, part of God, working beside God, at one with God. This gives us a glimpse of our God who gives life to the world and celebrates with us in our very existence. Then in the Gospels, we learn and experience Jesus as the only begotten Son who came to us in human flesh and fulfilled his earthly ministry. He leaves behind, we know, those whom he had taught, protected, loved. And Jesus tells them how they will experience his absence. He reassures them, that says they will have all authority in heaven and earth and to go and do likewise. Go and do. Make disciples. Baptize them, all in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus tells them that he will be with them always, always, to the end of the age. And boy, is that exactly what they needed. All of that authority and power for the work to come. While Jesus was with them, they turned to him when there was a problem or there was something that they needed. They could have him solve it. But now it was going to be up to them. He was going to be gone. The Holy Spirit would be with them for guidance, for that inner knowledge that they could do whatever was needed. That was the power they were left with when Jesus departed this earth. The Holy Spirit would be with them. They would have a powerful and irreplaceable inner resource for feeling the presence, the strength, the courage, the knowledge, and the love of God. And so it was. They were dispersed to far out in different places, and the Trinity was with them individually and collectively. What they once feared to do, they would now find that they were capable of doing. They remembered things from Jesus' teaching that became clear and gave them a wisdom and an understanding of how to move forth, how to continue to spread the word. This second advocate, the Holy Spirit, really didn't bring them anything new. The Spirit simply caused them to understand more fully what Jesus had already given them, what God had already given them, and take it and run with it. And this work of the Spirit is exactly what Paul is spelling out in today's reading from Romans. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, all working together. And we too can rely on the love, the strength, the determination, the power of God's indwelling. The disciples' needs, our needs, not wants, our needs are fully supplied. This connection puts everything right. We're connected to God forever, forever to God. God's strength, determination, love, compassion, all usable, all available. in any circumstance, any trials, any challenges that we ever experience, God will be there. God is there. Is that too hard to believe? Is that too hard to believe? Is it too good to believe? Do you want to believe more? Do you want to be stronger? Do you want to feel that presence more and more and more? And I pray the answer is, because I think I'm preaching to the choir here. I hope I'm preaching to the choir. Not just that one. I hope the answer is always. I'm searching, I'm growing, I'm trying always to open up, to let more of God in, and to go forth. As I was doing some reading for today, I punched into my little Google line, analogy for the Trinity. Well, I didn't find much that was edifying. But I did find a post that I thought was quite interesting and perhaps or hopefully apropos. What if we truly made God the architect of our lives? What if we took all of our hopes, all of our dreams, all of what we want our lives to be, all of what we want to accomplish, all of what we want to leave as a heritage, of how we want to reflect on what all that God has blessed us with, and we turn them over to the architect of our lives, God. Our architect is the God of love and oneness, not the God of separation and fear. Our architect is always within us, found by word of mouth, not by dogma. His product she's providing speaks for itself. And if you want to learn more about it, you don't need to go outside of yourself. The architect is with you 24/7. The foundation of the architect's plans is oneness. All structures, all lives are viable. And none is ever judged unworthy. None. There's flexibility to allow for upgrades and changes. If you've ever built anything or ever tried to build anything, you know that sometimes things occur and your plans have to change. Well, that works well for this architect. Just keep coming and we'll sort it out. There's an endless warehouse of supplies and materials that are available anytime, anywhere. The support staff. It truly believes in the product and honors all designs submitted by the clients, all the designs submitted by us, the builders. And all of the knowledge of the process, how it happens and what's supposed to happen, is available to the client whenever and wherever they choose to know it. They only need to go within themselves, and the architect will reveal it. You must get the drift of what I'm talking about now with this architect analogy. Always know, we are the builder of our lives, and we choose the architect.